right. Well, Rose, where are you? Where's Rose? Did you come over to Ocala? Bless your heart, dear. And where's Barbara? Barbara and Pat. God bless you. Thank you. Did you come too? Okay, maybe we got two Barbaras back there. Thank you, dear. Thank you. Wonderful. This church gave our church quite a few months before I got there $5,000 just to help us, and then came over and visited, I think, on several occasions, and we have never forgot it. The best thing was you loaning us your portable baptistry. You still have that?
We don't get someone else.
That's good. We use that portable baptistry. We had it inside a few times, but mostly it was outside. Brother Louis Peoples is here tonight. Brother Louis, where are you? Wave at me. Brother Louis Peoples is one of our fine men. Did you see the outdoor baptisms? We had a good time with that baptism, except when the snakes got in it. And I'm just kidding. That never happened. Our people would gather around outside, and we would baptize, and we didn't know how to act when we got a real one in the house, but we appreciate that. Your pastor has been a total gentleman, a dear friend, has encouraged me many times, and we just thank God for him and for this church. What you've done here is amazing. Amen. I was sitting in the what I call the old auditorium. That's actually the second one, right? Looking over my notes, and I remember when we used to, I preached two or three times in there. But that looks small now, doesn't it? And this is amazing. And I know the storefront where you started, Brother Reynolds has shown me that on a couple of occasions. Are you still doing the park? Are you still fixing the park? Or?
City employees need to work.
Okay. I thought that was great. The men doing the city park, I thought that was wonderful. So it is such an honor to be here tonight. And it's about an hour and 20-minute drive over here. And I have my granddaughter and some guy that she found along the road somewhere. And I made him drive so I could study. And we had a good time coming over here. John chapter 3. Has this been good so far?
Amen.
I bet it has. And you had a House of Fire preacher start you out this morning, didn't you? Was that John chapter 1? Okay, I want to make sure I don't mess up and go back and cover any of that. John chapter 3. This tonight is one of the greatest assignments that I've ever been given. I mean that sincerely. And I pale when I think about trying to cover John chapter 3. Brother John, I'm not supposed to do the whole chapter, I hope. I will not get that done, but we'll have a good time. It's arguably one of the most, if not the most, beloved chapter in all of Scripture. How many John chapter 3 is precious to you, has been all your life? G. Campbell Morgan said, the Gospel of John brings us into the profoundest facts concerning the person of Jesus. And no one knew Jesus like John did. To many, the Gospel of John is the greatest of all the books of the Bible. It would be hard to argue against that. The early church fathers named the Gospel of John the spiritual gospel. Everything about John's gospel is unique. He records no parables. The fourth gospel has no account of the birth of Jesus, of his baptism, or his temptations. It tells us nothing of the Last Supper, nothing of Gethsemane, nothing of the Ascension. It has no word of the healing of any people possessed by devils and evil spirits. And yet John writes these stunning descriptions of some of the greatest moments ever recorded in the life of Jesus. And after walking us through maybe one of the most powerful chapters in the Word of God, chapter 1, He takes us to a country wedding in chapter 2. I've always liked that. Jesus at a wedding party. Herbert Lockyer, the great commentator, says that John excels in the depths of divine mysteries. Nobody wrote like John. John will take off and go 4, 5, 6 chapters in the same sermon, dealing with the same subject. John had brilliant eyes for Jesus. The man stands for Mark. The lion stands for Matthew. The ox stands for Luke. But the eagle stands for John. Because the eagle of all living creatures alone can look straight into the sun and not be dazzled. John, of all the New Testament writers, has the most penetrating gaze into the eternal mysteries and the eternal truths and into the very mind of God. We must have the gospel of John. It is true, the saying goes, that many people find themselves closer to God and to Jesus Christ in John than any other book in the world. John's hands handled him. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. John heard and interpreted and assimilated what the other apostles did not see. He leaned on the breast of Jesus in John chapter 21, verse 20, which says, "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at the supper." Leaned on his breast at the supper. And that means that John heard the heartbeat of God to be that close to Jesus. John is the only one of the men that stood at the foot of the cross. He was closest to him at the supper. He instantly recognized the echoing voice of Jesus as it traveled over those blue shimmering waters at the lake out to the boat in John 21. He caught things that no other gospel writer caught. His gospel has been called the heart of Christ. Origen, the great writer, said, "The gospel of John is the consummation of the gospels as the gospels are of the scripture." And this gospel of John, gives us a striking portrayal of Christ. Herbert Lockyer said, "Genesis commences with man made in the image of God. John begins with God made in the image of man. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." So we come to our assignment tonight, John chapter 3. You got to remember that the last few verses of chapter 2 have a way of naturally blending in, kind of introducing, like the lobby to John chapter 3. G. Campbell Morgan says, "Here in John chapter 2, primarily verses 23 through 25, we are face to face with something arresting. His signs produced a belief, but it is not a belief to which he could commit himself. They committed themselves to him in a certain way, but he could not commit himself to them. Their belief was shallow. It was based on wonder. The things that were necessarily arresting and startling and spectacular were all they wanted. Belief that was based on the spectacular is always shallow and vanishing." And we see that in the church today, amen? If belief is nothing more than administration for the secular or the spectacular, it will create multitudes and applause But the Son of God cannot commit himself to that kind of faith. Jesus will not be your comic book hero. He will not be your favorite action figure. You must say with Thomas, "My Lord and my God." The fair-weather Christian will wear the Jesus t-shirt and jump up and down during the praise music segment of the service, but they will not go with him to the garden or to the cross. And I think that's why the church has weakened itself today. In John, he is looking for that special grain of seed that is willing to fall into the ground and die. Die. My life is over. His life in me begins. But Jesus did not send this man, Nicodemus, away. He begins with an introductory diatribe, which is impressive, sounds good, but the Lord will almost cut him off in mid-sentence because his initial words were basically fluff and meaningless accolade. There was something deeper, though, in the heart of this nocturnal visitor. I'm glad he hasn't turned me away when I didn't say the right thing or say it the right way or when I didn't do the right thing the right way. I'm glad he accepted me. Jesus could not commit himself to these men. To reject Jesus is one thing, but for Jesus to reject you, that's terrifying. So, Mr. Nicodemus, don't hit me with religious speeches, your sentiment, your shallow rhetoric. Talk to me about your faith. Show me your scars. Let me see your cross. Lift up your shirt and show me the marks in your body that bear my name. Jesus knew all men. We begin reading in John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus says in verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." My friend, have you been born again by the Spirit of God? Has the Spirit of God stirred you to your very soul? And Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" I watched a little girl out in Huntington Beach, California, Jennifer Bowles. I went out there at the age of 48. That's pretty old for California. Those kids came into the chapel service. There were about 250 of them, and they would stack their skateboards and their surfboards and their boom boxes, and it looked like every one of them were wearing parachutes. It was interesting. And I said, "Lord Jesus, I'm 48, and I'm in California trying to talk to California teenagers. And I said, help me." And we began to preach, and man, God began to move. And one little girl sitting over here by this wall on about the third chair in brought her feet up into the chair, put her arms around her knees, buried her head in her arms, and began to weep uncontrollably. So much so that it shook up the entire room. One of the teachers came over and watched her. And I wanted to go back there. Now, that auditorium is about half the size of this one. I wanted to go over there, but there were kids all over the front, all up the steps. They had come up around the pulpit so that I could not move. It was a glorious moment. And finally, the teacher stood up by a big potted tree of some kind, and looked at me and mouthed the word, help. And so I started stepping over young people, went down the steps, around this way, made it back to where that young lady was sitting, and the teacher looked at me and said, Jennifer Bowles, 15, good luck. And what I didn't know, Jennifer had just transferred in from a large public school. She was not saved. She knew none of the words to the choruses. She knew nothing about Independent Baptist Church protocol. She didn't know how to hold a songbook. She didn't know what a songbook was. She had probably never held an open Bible in her hand. And she was curled up into a steel ball, trembling. And I sat down next to her and I said, honey, today's Tuesday. I said, we're having a great meeting. Look at all these kids. She would not look up. And I said, Jennifer, you won't talk to your teacher. You're going to have to talk to me, honey, because in about 4 days, I get on a plane and fly back out to the central United States. And if you don't tell me what's going on in your life, I will go into deep depression. And she tried to speak. I said, this is tongues. This is absolutely tongues. I said, slow down. She said, what you said? You're talking about me. I said, yeah. I said, I'm talking about everybody in this room, including me. And she said, if I do this, I will lose every friend that I have. And I said, yes, ma'am. That's probably right. And I don't know why. Usually I would open my Bible to Romans chapter 3, but I set this same Bible up on her knees, and I said, I want you to look at something. And I turned to Matthew 11, where Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. The football guys, they had a tremendous high school football team. And there was a pair of black Rawlings shoulder pads that had been used in a skit and just kind of thrown up against the wall. I got those shoulder pads and I put them on. And I said, honey, you're in labor this morning. You're in labor. It's called the labor of sin. And I said, it's been on you now for several years. And I said, you've got to take that off and put on the yoke of Jesus. Because compared to what you're carrying around, his yoke is light compared to the yoke that you're wearing. Man, she kind of liked that. And we went on through that passage, and I read some other verses. And I said, Jennifer, I said, look, this is all so new to you, the singing, being around Christian teenagers. This is all new to you. I want you to take this home. And she had a Bible. I got the Bible, showed her where Matthew chapter 11 was at, drew the number in the front of the book. And I said, I want you to go home and read this. And I gave her some other verses. And tomorrow I want to talk about it. She said, no, I want to pray now. I said, yes, ma'am. And we prayed, and you should have heard that 15-year-old kid pray. I didn't mean to go into all this. She prayed one of the sweetest prayers I've ever heard in my life, asking Jesus to take me, take my life. Lord, I don't want these shoulder pads. Give me some new shoulder pads. It wasn't a very eloquent prayer, but I think it worked. Jennifer Bowles, chapter 15. She finally put her feet down. She got her face dry. And I said, hallelujah. The next day, we came back for chapel, and I'm thinking, now, what can we do now? Because the Lord just cleaned the place out that Tuesday morning. There must have been 80 or 90 kids. We had several saved, all kind of good stuff going on. And Jennifer wasn't there. I looked over to seat, and all the kids sat in assigned seats, kind of like a prison. The teachers laughed. The kids didn't say nothing. And I looked over there and her seat was empty, and I thought, Lord, Lord, help her, because I realized she probably got attacked. She got jumped. And through the center doors right here came Jennifer Bowles and a handsome kid about 6'2", Puerto Rican. And they came in and sat down in the back of where the kids stopped. And when I finished preaching and gave the invitation, down the aisle, this center aisle, came Jennifer Bowles with this Puerto Rican kid. The volleyball coach came over, met this guy right here, and they went back here in the old choir room, and about 45 minutes later, he came out with this kid named George, and George was saved. Well, about 100 of the kids had asked permission to stay into the next, if they could stay in the chapel to see what happened to George the Puerto Rican. And when the coach came out, we all gathered around them, and Jennifer said, or the coach said, George, tell them what happened. George said, I always sit at home, sit on Jennifer's front porch and wait for her to get in from school. Well, she's going to this school now. She got in a little later. I waited. And when she came through the gate, I looked at her and I asked her, what happened to your face? And Jennifer Bowles, no kidding, this is exactly what she said. There's this fat guy from Kansas. He has this great big Bible. I guess that's a great big Bible to them. He hollers at us a bunch of stuff, but it's really good stuff. And he was hollering all this stuff and getting all lathered up. And she said, all of a sudden, God spoke to my heart, and I rolled up into a ball, and he came over, and I prayed and asked Jesus to save me. And George, he will save you too. And then George stood there, and all of these kids, not all of them right with God yet, not all of them surrendered, going to a Christian school because mom and dad said, go to a Christian school, obey the rules, march the program. But their hearts weren't in it. And George said, last week, I took a handful of pills. I didn't want to live anymore. This kid is 16 or 17 years old. He said, I took those pills. They took me to the hospital. I got out of the hospital about 2 days ago. I'm glad that Jennifer got saved. And I'm glad she invited me to come to this place today because I'm saved too. And those kids, those athletes and mathematicians and brainiacs and whatever they were, started jumping up and down right here in front of the pulpit, about 80 kids. I started jumping up and down. I did it 2 or 3 times, then I had to stop. That's what I'm talking about. Has the Spirit of God, have you been born again like that? Did it transform you? Did you not care what anybody thought about you? Did you have an instant passion to reach human beings, whether you knew them or not? I mean, grab them. Jennifer Bowles, the next morning, I came in and we were supposed to meet early and talk, and I was going to kind of start some discipleship. I said, where's Jennifer? And they said, she's in the office. She's in the school office. What did you do to her? Beg your pardon? She wrote down all those verses you gave her. It was the Romans Road. It was Matthew 11. And I think a verse or two out of Isaiah. And she had gone home and copied those off very neat and was making copies on the church copier machine and then running about 3 blocks down the street to this huge public high school, handing those stuff out to the kids as they came into school. I went down there and stood there and watched her as these kids were swarming. And she's passing out these verses. If you'll come down here to the school, this fat guy will tell you some good stuff that will help you. That girl got saved, brother. She shook that Christian school up. That was wonderful. That was wonderful. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? This guy, where's this guy been? And Jesus answered in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Dr. John Phillips calls Nicodemus as fine a specimen of the natural man as we could wish to find. I was preaching in my dad's company in Oklahoma City in 1983. I was chaplain of the company, and then I also had a revival ministry, and when I didn't have revivals, then I had a job, and it was a great deal, I loved being a chaplain in a secular sales promotional company because you never knew what you had. I mean, it was just always just a fresh audience of people. And you had Catholics and Unitarians and atheists, and you had Democrats. And there was one teacher, marvelous motivational teacher, marvelous guy, and he would teach you, and then he would go out with you, or he would work with your entire team. He didn't get paid for that. He just loved helping people. One of the most immaculately dressed guys I've ever seen. He was, in some ways, a Nicodemus-type guy. Chuck Bain was his name. Marvelous, marvelous teacher. Chuck Bain was the last guy that I ever would have thought would have come up to my hotel room, Brother Reynolds, and knocked on the door asking to be saved. I never would have believed that Chuck Bain would have done that. And that morning I got to preach to about 800 people in the master ballroom, and I mean, I just reared back and let them have it. None righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And the first guy that came was a Roman Catholic guy, and he had his shirt unbuttoned about down to here and had on this huge, beautiful, golden piece of jewelry. If you swung it like this and hit something, it'd kill him. He was the first one forward to get saved, crying like a baby. Never heard just good Bible preaching. We had 13 people saved that morning. I went back upstairs, is at the Skirvin Hotel in downtown Oklahoma City, beautiful hotel, and it was about 2:30, and I was studying for another class that we had coming, and I opened the door, and there stood Chuck Bain, and I'd never seen him looking like he looked. This was the epitome of salesmanship, confidence, just an immaculate guy, Randy. What you said this morning, where did you get all that stuff? And it was a pleasure to say, out of the Bible, Chuck, out of the Bible. It was just good ABC preaching. He said, that's what I need. And his lip began to quiver. Now, this is one of the guys driving the big fancy car that was 1983, that was making six figures every year. Highly successful, could have retired in his 30s and forgot about it, standing here at 2:30 on Sunday afternoon with his lip trembling, saying, can I get that what you said? I said, the word saved. That's it. And in the room he came, we knelt down, and Chuck Bain received Jesus Christ into his heart. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Ye must be born again. G. Campbell Morgan said, this was the man to whom our Lord revealed the necessity of the new birth. Our Lord revealed to him the fact and necessity for the cross. Think about that. This was the man to whom our Lord revealed the necessity of the new birth. our Lord revealed to him the fact and necessity for the cross. This is a nice guy. He's a learned man. He's extremely religious, extremely patriotic, a student of Moses, a serious Jew, and a man of eminence. But my friend, Jesus sets appointments. And today was Nicodemus's rendezvous at night. God sets appointments. About 3 years ago, I was at my dad's house, and we buried my mother just a little bit before this trip. I think it was. My chronology may not be accurate. And you know how you cannot wait to go to sleep? You don't even want a bologna sandwich with horseradish, double cheese. You don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want to look at anything on the TV. You don't want to do nothing. You are soused. And I mean, I laid down on this very uncomfortable bed that I don't have the guts to tell my dad that needs to be put in a Girl Scout campfire. And I mean, I went to sleep and I was snoring in 13 different languages. All of a sudden, you know how you all of a sudden you'll take a gasping breath. There you go. I like that guy. Was he ever a youth director? That's something a youth director would do. And I and woke myself up, and I heard a female voice just outside my storm door. Now, I'm very proficient in martial arts. You guys believe that? With that left hand right there, I'm totally capable, with one lancing blow, of crippling a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And this girl was out of breath. She was gasping and talking and very excited. I thought, what in the world? I mean, this is on the little patio, 6 feet from me. So I thought, okay, if you open this door right here, what if she has one of those little 9mm mags? You don't know who she is. I peeked through the thing. I had no idea who she was. So I went out the front door and came around to the side of the house and walked up very slowly, kind of whistling. And I said, hi. She said, oh, sir, did I wake you up? Yes, you did. I said, but that's okay. She was in trouble. And her boyfriend in the apartments right across the street had kicked her out in the middle of the night. I think he had been abusing her physically. She was in a mess. And she began to tell me what was going on. And I said, ma'am, I said, I'm an old guy. You're a young, beautiful woman. It's not too often we're going to meet in the middle of the night. And I said, I sense, because I've been doing this for a long time, that God has arranged this appointment between you and me. She said, I think you're right. And I had my testament, and I began to show her verses, and God just melted that child's heart. She said, that's exactly what I need. That is exactly what I need. She said it exhaustedly, and she prayed and received Jesus about 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And then I got hugged. That was fun. Amen. And I got her contact information. I got her mother's phone number so I could contact her. But my friend, God sets rendezvous. God sets divine appointments with people. If you have any compassion about you, if you have any passion, if you have any desire to be used of God, God will bring people to you. You need to go, but He will bring people to you at 2:30 in the morning. Wow. So, born of water. Jesus went straight for the inside. He goes straight for the heart. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart, Nicodemus, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Nicodemus, David said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And sir, you need to take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief for departing from the one true living God. Some have thought that born of water means to be baptized. I'm watching Dr. John. Baptized. But there are dozens of verses in John that contradict that. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Some have thought that born of water refers to our physical birth. That kind of makes sense to me, because he's talking about the womb, and he's talking about that which is born of flesh is flesh. That could be true. Our physical birth. And then some have thought that born of water means to be born again by the word of God. I like that one. Amen. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. And then some have thought that born of water means to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. John 7:38-39, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Nicodemus had focused on the head and had lost sight of the heart. That's happened to a lot of our churches. A lot of our churches. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Isn't that easy to do? So, what other thing, says Matthew Poole, could have been meant by the circumcision of the heart? How did Nicodemus not get that? Commanded by Moses, by the new heart, by the new spirit, promised in Ezekiel 36:26, by the clean heart, prayed for by David in Psalm 51:10. A teacher in Israel should from hence have understood the necessity of a new heart. Dr. John R. Rice, boy, I miss him. Y'all miss him? Dr. John R. Rice said, how could one understand all the scriptures without seeing that the wicked heart must be changed, must be forgiven? Nicodemus, says Dr. Rice, was wrong not to have found all of that in the Old Testament. Wow. Man alive, I've got some really good stuff here. You should hear it. Bruce Doty, 1968, Ardmore, Oklahoma. We were students at Oklahoma Baptist University in Shawnee, Oklahoma. All we could think about was preaching. If we could convince a human being to stop, we would preach to him or her anytime, any place. We left Shawnee, Oklahoma, went down to Ardmore, Oklahoma, to a Humpty Dumpty parking lot which had gone out of business, and we set some parking stiles up. I gotta quit. You'll have to hear that story the next time I get here. It's a fantastic story. Brother John, thank you, brother. What an honor. I love you.